Hi, everyone. Welcome to Girl Code.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the stew.
That
sounded very robotic. Mm. Welcome back to the stew.
Welcome back.
Guys, I want to let you know we have a really exciting guest here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Girl Code. Wow, it feels so good to be here.
You guys might remember we spoke, I think it was end of last year.
It was a while ago.
You just dropped your first collection back after quite some time, but we're going to get into all that. Do not worry. But in the episode, we're like, why don't we interview you? Mm. We interview so many business owners. I got one right here.
What's up?
And it seems like you all wanted it. Mm. You all want it.
Yeah, you guys actually, you wanted it, didn't you? You guys? No, I feel like the response was actually really good, which is nice.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are. I'm going to interview Madison Woolley, 25-year-old, successful. I don't know what we usually say for guests. I'm trying to think of like a blurb.
You guys know.
Whatever. Let me bring up my notes. On. Okay, Madison, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Okay, let's start. Mm-hmm. What, for anyone who doesn't know, what is 23rd and Madison?
Yeah.
And when did you start?
That was very professional.
I don't know what happened,
I'm actually on a board meeting right now.
I feel like I've never asked you serious questions.
A panel? I don't know. So 23rd, for those of you guys who don't know, it's 23rd and Madison. We just always shorten it. But it's a fashion clothing brand and I started it just before I turned 23.
Mm.
So what am I, 25 this year? I'm turning 26 this year.
Yeah. It's like 3 years.
3 years. So yeah, that's basically the gist of it. We're based in Sydney, Australia. We're made in Australia now, but it's been a journey to get there.
I'm excited to hear about the journey.
You're really taking on like the interview.
I know I am.
Persona.
I need to get it out.
Although I'm really excited to hear about the journey. So next question, Madison. I'm like, shit.
I don't know why I've like stepped into this weird zone. Anywho, okay. So before 23rd, for backstory, did you always think you wanted to have a fashion brand? Was this end goal for you? Because I know you went to uni, which you can obviously touch on. Does it your degree and what your career aspirations were correlate with where you're at now?
Not really.
Okay.
So I always loved fashion, which is what kind of started me on my influencer journey, is posting photos, outfits, all that fun stuff. So I went to uni. I studied, I have a Bachelor of Business and I majored in marketing and international business. So I never really wanted to have my own fashion brand. That wasn't really my end goal. I wanted to work in marketing.
Right.
Big business. Fashion house, though. That was what I wanted to do.
Right. Because I remember when you moved to Sydney, your Instagram was taking off. I think you just hit 100K or something, right?
Yes.
So it was starting to get traction. And I remember you came to Sydney with hopes of getting a luxury fashion internship.
Yes. So that's what I wanted. I always wanted to work in fashion, like in the industry, but I never thought I would be in a position to have my own brand. That was just, it seemed too far out of reach for me at that point. I would have loved it, but I never was thinking that.
No.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I studied. So I do have a background in business.
Right.
So, which I think has helped.
Definitely.
Me get to where I am.
Right.
Marketing.
Okay. So not completely irrelevant.
No.
No.
No, it's still good. I think, honestly, I feel like sometimes I used to think like marketing business degrees were a little bit, because it's very broad.
It's very broad.
Very broad. Like when you do a medical degree or whatever it is, it's very specific and you learn about so many things. Whereas a business degree is very generalized. Mm. But I think there's so many things that you can take out of it that you can apply to other areas in your life.
I feel like it's a good degree to do if you're not sure and not to like discredit it. But it's one of those.
Oh, it's a great like halfway degree. If you're exactly right. If you're not sure of what you want to do. Study business because you can always apply in every different area.
I feel like anything you do, even if it would just at the very least getting a good deal at the car shop, do you know?
Yeah.
You know how to negotiate.
Even a PR, like if you do like public relations, like stuff like that, is just so useful in so many different areas.
But would you go as far as to say it's essential to start a fashion brand?
No, I don't think you need a degree to start
a
fashion brand or honestly like any business for that matter.
No, I feel like there's a lot on the internet now.
Yeah. I think anyone can start any business. I think it helps, but I don't think it's an essential.
We've got the backstory, the background out of the way. What was the very, very first step? Maybe let's break down.
Yep.
Like, obviously, pending the business, the steps are going to change slightly. But like baseline, step by step, how do you start a fashion brand? And how did you start?
First thing I did was I went on Pinterest. I think that's like the very first thing I started to just get an idea of what I wanted the brand to actually be, like create the vision and the brand identity, I guess, in your head. So you've got an overarching theme of where you want to go. And then because I was, how old was I at this time? I think I was like 21 when I started working on the brand. So I was very young. I didn't really know what I was doing. My family is like, I've got no experience in the fashion industry. I've no one in the family. Like I had no idea basically. So I firstly went online to get help with starting it, which we can talk about, which is something that I would not have done. And I think if you are starting a brand, then I would encourage you to do it alone. Don't go with like other people. I found basically a company that helped influencers start up brands. And I was like, perfect, because I didn't know where to start. I had no idea.
So you contact them and you say, I have this idea.
Yes.
And they say, we can take those Pinterest mood boards, for example, and your ideas. Mm-hmm. Pay us X amount and we'll do it. Yep. Is that the vibe?
Yes. So that's what I did because I was very young. I didn't know what I was doing, very inexperienced, no background in fashion. So I thought also was working full time doing influencing career. So I thought that would be a great solution.
Mm-hmm. But and also I think a few other big brands,
yes,
influencer brands were using company at that time.
I've seen them speak about how their experiences were and they're all no longer with this company anymore.
Things to think about.
I wouldn't recommend you guys do that. Learn from my mistakes. Do it alone.
So that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
What's the second step, even if that is within the company? Like what's the...
Trademarking.
Right.
Once you have like an idea of what you want your brand to be, you come up with a name. You
have to register that name, like Australian ABN, business.
Yes. I have a company. So like, and then I trademark that name. Trademarking is so important because I lost thousands of dollars when I was first doing it because I lodged a trademark without doing proper research and it got knocked back. And basically every time you lodge a trademark, if it gets disproved, you lose that money. You don't get it back. And it's like a couple thousand dollars every time.
Oh.
Yeah. So get a good lawyer, trademark lawyer. I have an amazing one now.
Perfect.
Yeah. Shout out to my brother.
I didn't know you were that close with your lawyer.
So yeah, get a good trademark lawyer and get everything trademarked early on. If you think it's, well, if your career business plan for your brand or business or whatever it is goes global, then I would recommend you get it internationally trademarked too.
Right. But you definitely should do it in Australia.
Definitely in Australia.
What happens if you don't trademark the name?
Someone opened up something that was like 23rd and Susan and was selling clothes in Melbourne.
Right.
I can shut down their business because it infringes on my trademark.
Right. Okay. So you can, for people listening that are starting out, you can start your brand without trademarking, but you run a high risk because someone trademarks it before you, then you have to shut down.
You'll get an email from a lawyer one day that will say basically, hey, you are infringing on our trademark. We are within every right to shut down your business and you can get sued. Mm-hmm. So also, if you ever see a big company change and redo their branding, that's probably why.
Wow.
So it'll cost you so much money because if your brand starts doing really well for 5 years, you're blooming, you're doing a couple million, I don't know, in revenue. Another company that has the trademark can see that and be like, no, goodbye.
Wow. Could they even perhaps take a percent, like sue you for some profits?
Yeah, they
because
can
like
sue you.
You know, off the back of my likeness kind
exactly
of thing.
Well, that's the thing, like they can say that you've used our name to piggyback on our success.
Okay so I will also add, everything you've said, those key like four steps, I can also vouch for how important they are. Adding in accountant.
Oh,
you mentioned company structure.
Get a good accountant for sure. Accountant and trademark lawyer, two very important things. And it's like the boring shit you don't want to think about.
No. And I also know it's expensive because I, in the past, cut corners on the accountant part. And I have been paying the price for a couple of years now. Mm. Okay. So if you don't get your tax and your company structure right, whether that's sole trader, partnership, company, obviously company, you get better tax privileges versus being a sole trader. I'm just saying this because learn from my mistakes there. You must get that right. It's the worst expense. You don't want to pay it, especially when you're not having any cash flow, but make it a non-negotiable so you don't fuck your life up.
I think that's just like, honestly, so true. Like, good accountant and a good lawyer, like that will get you set up from the start.
Another admin question. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone wants to know as well. How the F did you fund it? Did you get an investor? Did you save up? Did you get a loan? How did you fund? Obviously, you have no revenue stream, but you'd have to front a big amount of stock, I presume.
Yes.
How did you get there?
So I was lucky in the sense that I did have a second job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that while you're starting a business, having a second income stream to fall back and rely on is really important, because it just gives you, I think, a little bit of a, I think you could argue it from two ways. You could say either you jump all in and like quit your job and then you're forced to like do well, or have that security blanket. But I think it was good having the second job because it allowed me to have cash to invest in 23rd. So I just saved up. So with this company that I was starting off with to help me build the brand, they originally, I think, quoted like $20,000 for the first collection.
Is that not including their fees for managing?
I think that was the whole thing. That was everything. Okay. $20,000.
Okay.
And it was going to be over like maybe a year, which I was like, I can do that. I can save up.
Mm-hmm.
I had a second job. No, it was so much more. I think for the first collection, I think I spent like over $60,000, which was a lot for a 21-year-old.
That's a lot in general.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just going to also add, I feel like you were so smart with your money though, even though it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who were in doing social media and stuff, you can just so easily spend that money on like designer stuff, but you were saving those pretty pennies and putting it towards that. So a lot of money down, but
yes,
it's now paid off.
So I think it's a good point though. It's like if you start any business, not just fashion, take the number that you get told or what you think it's going to be and then times it by three.
Yeah.
Because that's what it will actually cost you to start. So that's why I think it is good to have a second side job on the side to support you while you're doing it.
I feel like it also will stop you from being in such a rush, you know, because if you have no income, your savings account's dwindling, you're putting everything in I feel like you're more likely to start cutting corners, rushing.
Exactly.
You know, I think this gives you the freedom to slow everything down.
Yeah. I didn't get a bank loan, so I'm not really one to talk on that, but I would try to avoid it if you can.
Right.
Taking money out at the start.
Yeah.
I think investors, from conversations I've had with people, investors sound really good. Some of my friends own really successful businesses and they've had investors. So it just depends what avenue you want to take, but I just did it solo.
Investors, I feel like you have to do your own research on that, because there's so many different types, like personal, angel, sweat, all that. Do your own research.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Where I'm not like experienced in investing.
We're on to the creative part.
This is the fun part. You've got your lawyer, you've got your trademarks.
Yeah. We've saved up our money.
Suppliers is like a little bit harder, but I'll get to that later. Okay. Australian.
Yeah. We're taking you on the timeline journey too, because this is the start. And then
my timeline's a bit.
It has now shifted. So, but we'll get to that just for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone listening along at home. This interviewer is shit. I've never interviewed on my own. I'm freaking out.
You're doing well, sweetie.
Okay, so all that's out of the way. Now, what's the next step? Let's get this show on the road.
The next step, I was working with this company. So basically we started designing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had full creative control. So they had a designer in-house, but I would basically go to them and say, this is what I want to do. Yeah, that's basically what we started doing, is just coming up with the designs. That was the fun part. This is the part that I love.
Right.
I'm more of a creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I've got the background stuff, but I think this is the fun thing, is like coming up with the designs, the collection. Also, this is like a good note, if you're starting off, order small quantities. Order the minimum amount that you can do with whoever your supplier is, because as a first-time brand, you don't want to be selling like huge stock units, because it's so hard.
What quantities did you have to get?
I started off with 300
per
piece.
300. That is a
That's a lot.
Insane number.
That's what some big brands in Australia do.
Yeah, big brands.
Big brands, like the main big brands in Australia, which is, it's insane. Like, do not be doing that.
No, they'll order that amount, see how it goes, then they'll restock these big brands, right? But they're telling you to do that with no prior judgment of how you move, sell your own design.
Yes. So that's also why I think it did cost way more. But also, this is just lessons. Like, this happens. You'll probably also, your first time, will get a full shipment and things will be wrong. Like, sizing will be wrong. You have to send it back. Like, shit just goes wrong.
What was it that made you end up leaving this company?
I just realized pretty quickly that it wasn't the right fit for my brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just have to be careful starting off, even like going into business with a partner. Like, you just got to make sure everyone's wanting the best for your business. And I just didn't see it working long term for what I wanted to do. So I pulled the pin on that pretty quickly, which is, I'm really glad that I feel like that's another point is, if something's not working, pivot. Like, you got to be good at pivoting in
business.
Moving
quick.
Moving quick. Like, just trial and error. That's basically what business is all about. It's just learning from your mistakes. So yeah, I parted ways. And then after that is when I went in-house and then I hired my own designer, which was great. And then we found a international supplier, which was not great. That was not good at all. So our supplier, like, it was just too slow. It would take so long to like finalize collections. So that's also a struggle with fashion brands, is finding a good supplier.
So let's say now you've moved in-house, right? You have your designer. You find the supplier, you send them your designs. Then I guess you get a sample, right? What's the timeline and like the payment?
So our supplier who I found this supplier of like Alibaba, which is what a lot of startup fashion brands do for the first time.
So many brands. It's like
do that.
The biggest marketplace for suppliers.
So I think I sent like a design to 10 different places on there, and the best one was the one I went with. And the sample process, they were just really slow. So I think it would take maybe 10 rounds of sampling with them. And that would be about like a 6 month to 8 month process. And it would still be wrong.
For each piece?
Each piece.
So you'd say, hey, love this. They'd send you one. How long from when you were like, this is a design, did you receive the sample?
2 weeks shipping.
So 2 weeks shipping, you get
two
it, you hate
shipping,
it.
But then it would be like 2 weeks for them to make it. It was very slow. It was just like not good.
Right. Too much back and forth.
I think there is international, I'm sure there's international suppliers that are amazing. It's just really hard to find them. And this one wasn't the right fit for us.
Especially because you had already started your company, it was running and you needed to quickly pivot.
And this is the thing, like, so we started, like, I restarted the company basically whilst it had just launched from scratch by myself.
Which is
very stressful.
So full on.
I would have meltdowns all the time. It was so whack.
Yeah, no, that was hectic. And then so you have to pay for every sample too, right?
Pay for every sample. Mm-hmm.
So there's
a lot of money
being spent on them kind of not getting it right.
Yes, very frustrating. And that's kind of why, so it was at this point, because every time we'd do launches and things, like, it would do really well, but it was just too long. I think the year that I took the break before that, I think we did 2 launches in the whole year.
Right.
Because we just didn't have product ready to sell. So then I just took a break because I was just not managing well. I was so burnt out. I was so frustrated. And I was just like, I'm done.
That was the start of 2023, right?
Yes. And I had that break. Yeah.
That's when you wheeled it in.
I wheeled it in because I was just so frustrated with the manufacturing and the process. And I was just, I was just honestly like, I'm so done. It was too much. I was just over it.
Well, also because you started the business with that company, business is running, you then pivot, delays, get a new supplier. You realize you hate that supplier.
Mm-hmm.
So many delays in order for you to be able to change suppliers while the company's still running. You kind of do have to pull away. Like,
well,
you
that's
had
the
to.
Thing. And this is why I also think, like, so many business owners basically say it's just resilience. That's all it is in business.
Yeah.
It's honestly, if you start a business, you have to be like so resilient. and never give up.
That was deep.
It's true though. Like I could have so easily canceled the business then because I'm like, this is too hard. Like I can't find a good supplier. Bye.
So instead of giving up, pivot and move, keep moving.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep rolling.
Just don't give up. Like just keep going and like eventually you will crack it and you will find a breakthrough. You just got to keep going.
While this is all happening, are you running at a profit or are you currently running at a loss from all the money you've spent?
No, we were running at a loss.
Right.
At
so
that point.
At that point,
you're... Because we weren't doing launches.
Yeah.
We did one launch last year.
Right.
Which was in the middle of the year.
Because of all those time delays from the bad samples, it had pushed you back so much. Mm-hmm. So now you were running at a loss because there's no stock to sell for the last 6 months because there is no stock because
but
it's
also,
all.
I don't take any money out of 23rd. Mm-hmm. I'm growing the company, but like, no, I'm not taking cash out of 23rd.
And I actually saw another entrepreneur, I don't want to say it like that, recently talking about the same thing. And she said, you'd be very surprised to hear what my salary is, like what I take from this wildly successful company.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot lower. She's like, my employees like earn more than me.
Well, that's,
and it's because you have to do your time to grow the business. Like most startup founders aren't killing it. They've got another job or they're...
I think the main money that you hear startup founders is actually when they sell.
Yes.
Their business.
Yeah.
Most startup founders, like I, again, have friends that own very successful businesses and they are on a salary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that you think it is because all the money goes back into the business until you sell and then they make their money.
Yeah. And obviously as it grows, like sure, you can pull a bigger salary.
You can pull a bigger salary,
but
for sure.
But most of the time you don't want to because you want to keep growing your brand.
Exactly. So like when I had a designer, a full-time designer who I paid very nice salary too. So it's just like you just got to be, I think if you go into a business as well thinking it's going to be like this massive amazing thing, you're going to drive around in a Lamborghini and like go on yachts, like it's not, you're not going to get that for like 30 years.
No, truly.
Unless you're in tech maybe, I don't know.
I mean I'm sure there's certain stories, but most of the time when you're like bootstrapping,
it's
a brand, it's just
a lot
sweat
than I, exactly,
and money,
yes,
outwards, and then one day you get the
one day, yeah, you have fruit. To love it, you have to love it because it's hard.
Let's move to the present time.
Yes.
So this is the past, we've moved past the Menti B. She's back. This is like what, December last year when you came back for your first collection?
Yes, my first collection back was in December, and like a few months before that I found my current supplier.
What steps did you take to find, like, get that new supplier? Where are they? What's the go? How are they different?
I started looking at other international suppliers. I did go around to a few fabric houses in Sydney to try and, like, suss the vibes. But it was honestly through a contact who gave me the local supplier's contact information.
Wow.
Which was, again, just like...
networking.
It's like networking and sometimes a bit of luck, and there's so many things to it. But I think it's just all about who you know, especially in fashion world, I think it's important.
Right. So ask people,
make friends,
network. I don't know, maybe offer your services in some way in exchange for some intel, people in the industry. I don't know.
I got lucky finding.
Yeah, but I feel like you can find people who are willing to help, but like I wouldn't just DM someone and be like, who's your supplier? Because that is also quite rude space. It's not a thing you're supposed to do.
Yes. Which is kind of like weird.
Isn't it?
I think it's kind of weird. I don't know.
I think I can see both sides.
Like, yeah.
Because I think your supplier is so important and key to your brand identity. And I think if someone comes in and they're like, I love 23rd and Madison, I'm going to rip off her vibe, go to her supplier. We're going to produce a similar product. So I know why people do hold their cards like a bit close to their chest with the whole supplier thing. But I think, you know, just putting people in contact, like helping out.
If you're friends with someone and they're like starting to, I would like, if my friend was starting to
business, of course.
I'd be like, babe, come on.
I just mean like when someone just DMs you.
Like a lot of work for them has gone into finding it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wouldn't just like DM Kylie Jenner and be like, who makes
who makes the lip kits, babe?
But if you do a little bit of Googling, you can find. There's also supplier directories. Look it up on TikTok. I can't remember the name of the website, but
there's
you can type in a brand and it'll track down their factory. Yeah.
So there's quite a few in Sydney if you guys are trying to start a fashion brand.
Just got to put your detective magnifying glass on.
get on the ground in Alexandria, you'll find some.
Get on the ground, you're dropping hints. You're like, if you walk down the street, turn left.
Go
and
in
then
Alexandria, just walk around, you'll find some, okay? I promise. And I found these people. I started having meetings with them and I just, the vibes, honestly, like I could have cried walking out of that. Do you remember I called you?
You were so excited.
I called Kaylin after the first meeting because I had just spent like 2 years of just being absolutely fucked. I was at this point where I was just like, I just don't think I can keep going. Like, this is so hard. And then I had this meeting and I was like, oh my God. So yeah, they were amazing. And it's all locally made now, which I love. I've always wanted that for the brand. I feel like that's is important to me, having a locally made, Australian made brand. And there's just so much more creative control and like samples come back so fast. It's really good.
Now for people starting out as well, I know usually, traditionally, it is more expensive to have clothing or any product really manufactured in Australia versus somewhere like China or Bali or really anywhere. I guess it's just more expensive here. Have you noticed it being more expensive for you, or the money you're saving through the sample process, does it balance itself out?
It's definitely balancing itself out right now.
Okay.
I think the fabric is a bit more expensive here. Like, we are using more elevated fabrics and they're more expensive, but the actual production fees maybe like slightly higher, but the shipping, there's no shipping fees. I used to have to spend thousands of dollars to get it shipped here from China. So that's not happening anymore. And then also, no sample fees anymore as well.
Do you find now, since making this change, taking that time off, you also had like your warehouse sale, everything cleared out the old vibes. Are you now running at a profit or are you still running at a loss?
Well, I'm still, I haven't definitely made back what I've invested.
Right.
But the new things and the new directions is, yes, doing
nice.
Very well.
Okay, that's good.
Snaps. I'm no longer having a breakdown, guys. Thank God.
Well, you know, they say it's most companies run at a loss for the first year or 2 years, isn't it?
Well, I think because I have invested way more than you probably needed to because of all the things that went wrong. So I feel like if I didn't do that, then yes, I would be at a profit. But because I didn't do that, I'm not.
I know you used to spend a lot of money on production for your shoots and your campaigns.
Great point.
Versus now, it was you and me, baby. So
yes, when I first started, I was just so, like, I just didn't know. I don't know. I had this idea of what I thought it needed to be successful. And it needed to be this like massive thing.
Like a big campaign shoot.
I think like my photo shoots when I first started, I was spending over $15,000on the photo shoot.
You would pay me to be there.
I would have a makeup artist, a professional photographer, 3 assistants. Like, it was just, it was too much.
But that's because that's what you thought you had to do at the time.
I thought I had to do at the time. And I didn't have the knowledge that I have now. Hindsight is a beautiful thing in business. But yeah, now I don't. I shoot everything myself. And I think that's such a good point, is like, do as much. And this is probably one of my main things I would say people starting out, do as much as you can by yourself until you absolutely need to
expand
out.
Right.
Same goes for hiring. You don't need that to do well, especially in this day and age. I think like social media, all you need is a phone.
Yeah.
To market now. So, yeah.
It's very common at the start just to be like, I have to do it like this brand. Yes. Like, they're doing this campaign shoot. Like, I'm not as good as this photographer. Yeah. But like, your photos that you took on your phone or like the G7X look so good.
I love them, if not even a little bit more. So, I think also a little bit of imposter syndrome, you know, I think you don't think you can do it, but believe me, you can.
Especially starting out, like, you would have saved so much more money.
Oh my God. So much more money.
Well, that's why she's here to save y'all.
I'm here. This is what I mean. I'm like, I wish I knew all of this. Again, hindsight.
Because people could look at what you're doing now and be like, oh my God, Maddie had a campaign shoot, like, blah, 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 but you didn't. You just,
that was all me. Know? That was like me. I asked you as a friend. I'm not paying you anymore.
Right, I just came to hang out with Minnie. Like,
that ship has sailed.
Good. I got like avocados and a coffee. I was here.
And like, I do a studio. Like, it's a tiny studio now, but it's, if I love it more for the
same
vibe.
I think the content's better now.
Yeah, me too. Well, I mean, touch wood. Well, sorry. Toot my own horn. But I just keep everything really small and just save costs as much as you can.
Yeah, don't grow too quick, right?
Don't grow too quick. Don't get too big for your boots.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask some questions from the GC family.
Hit me.
Okay. Why did you get back with you?
Why did you get back with John?
Jokes, jokes, jokes. But that is in fact, that is in fact in there. How do you deal with burnout? You touched on it at the start, obviously, yes, that you did in fact hit burnout. But how do you manage it with running your own business and obviously doing, being a full-time content creator and world famous podcast host?
Oh, so true.
How do you do it all?
So true. Burnout is really, really, I fucking hate burnout. It's so shit. You lose all interest in anything you basically love or care about.
Are you?
It's so true.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. That's why I got a therapist.
I was like, this seems real, like, no, real time.
It's just true though. Like, you lose your passion for things when you're really burnt out. So I think to avoid that, you need to balance, but realistically, as a business owner, that looks different to what I think. You're still going to be working really hard as a business owner. There's no such thing as just being like, oh, taking a full week off everything, goodbye.
No, because
like,
your mind's still there, right?
Can't do that, yeah. But I think it's having boundaries. So your weekends, for instance, I think one thing that led to my burnout was we would still go out pretty hard, as y'all know. On the podcast, we would get like lit on the weekend and then I'd be back at work on Monday through Friday. And it was just like, it was a lot.
I remember you'd even like, we'd go out on like the Friday and you'd be working Saturday, Sunday. And I was like, why are you doing that to yourself? I'd be eating McDonald's in bed, like crying.
Exactly.
And you're like, on the computer.
So just like, I would try and party really hard and then also work really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what led to it. Like, you need to have boundaries in place. And realistically, you can have it all, quotation marks, but I think if you're trying to do the whole entrepreneur route, you kind of got to ease back on the partying. Like, you will burn out if you're trying to do everything at once.
So you'll have to make some sacrifices.
You have to make sacrifices. Like, there's no way around it.
I think sacrifices are good, but would you agree you also do still have to make time for things that aren't work-related to avoid burnout?
Yes, definitely. So you don't, like, not make your friends and family a priority. But I'm talking about like, there's a party on Saturday night. Why aren't you going to come, babe? Like, come on, like say no to that. And then maybe going to brunch the next day for an hour with your friends instead.
For sure.
Just like being smart about it, because you need to think about what's actually going to tire me out. If you're drinking, for instance, on a Saturday night, that's like, it makes you feel shit. And then you go to work and you feel shit. It's just like, it snowballs.
You can't pour from an empty cup. But I also think that's important on the other side to make sure you're looking after yourself.
Yes.
Because you can say no to everything, just focus on the business, but like, is your cup full from love? Yeah. And like, you know.
You have to have a balance. Yeah. And I think it's just, like you said, sacrificing the giving up things that you probably shouldn't be doing and then prioritizing like healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
Brunch, going for a walk with your friends, making sure you're eating well and exercising.
Eat, pray, love.
Eat, pray, love.
Live, love, love. Mm-hmm. Next question. Why did you call it 23rd and Madison?
23rd is my favorite number.
Mm.
Also Kaylin's favorite number.
Thank you.
I'm born on the 23rd of March, so that's where 23rd comes from. And then it's called 23rd and Madison because it's New York City references, inspired fashion capital. It's just like, I love New York. It's my favorite city in the world. So I wanted it to have that feel. So I decided to do like 23rd and Madison. And like,
that's how you read the streets, you know?
What's the street name? Like
Madison Avenue.
Madison Avenue, like 5th and Madison. That's what you say when you get in a taxi in New York. 5th and Madison, please. So 23rd and Madison.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
23 really follows us around.
It does. 23 is everywhere.
I know. Even like how the roster zip through has got a 23 and we never addressed it. But I was like, does everyone know it's because that's our birthday?
We're born on the 23rd. We love 23.
Yeah.
It's our lucky number.
We love 23. It's everywhere. Okay. What are some unexpected costs that you were hit with? Like, you just didn't even comprehend that you'd have to pay for that.
Probably trademarking.
Right.
Very expensive, more than you think, especially if you go global. And then I think just also like running the business
right.
as well. So like using a lot of subscriptions, you have so much technology involved in running a business that you don't think about. But yeah, I think those are like the main ones really. So it's just me and then my production team. So like I don't have any staff fees anymore. Which was a big one. That's probably one of the biggest costs is when you start to hire staff.
Well, that was another question.
Yeah.
People want to know what happened with your previous designer. Oh, yeah, Sarah.
I love Sarah.
I know.
The best. No, Sarah was the best. So I hired Sarah because I couldn't design by myself. This is when I went in-house. So I needed a designer, but then I took the step back and I basically was like, look, it's not working with the supplier. We don't have any designs, so I didn't really need her anymore. And then also I just needed a mental.
So this was the 2023 mental break start.
Mental break. Basically, I was just like, look, I need to take a step back. We need to like reassess this whole structure. It's not working. And then she moved to Melbourne anyway, so she's not here, but mm-hmm. I love her. No bad blood. Like, no. We're still friends. I literally love her so much. Yeah.
She was wearing an unreleased design on TikTok the other day. I saw her. Cute. It was so cute. Like, actually, now I wish you released it. It was a skirt, that little pink.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We had so many designs that we did together that just never saw the light of day because...
That goddamn manufacturer.
That, like, the yellow dress. I loved that yellow dress.
Me too.
But just the fit, like, just it didn't happen. Anyways, so, yeah, that's what happened with Sarah. But now I am obviously – I have, like, a production team now in Sydney. I work with them very closely and they're kind of, like, not my staff. They're not on payroll, but, like, that's the team.
Right, so you don't need an additional designer.
Exactly. I don't need an additional designer. So, yeah, that's – that situation.
Okay. What are your favorite productivity tools that you use every day to run 23rd and Madison?
Notion and Google Calendar. It's like everything. I also love my iPad for design. I use Procreate. If you guys are fashion designers, then it's really good. You can like sketch on there. I also love using the Vogue Runway app that has like all of the current collections you can see and get inspo. That's like fashion stuff. In terms of actually running the business on the back end, I also love Starship It. I wouldn't be able to do order fulfillment with Shopify if I didn't have it. It just streamlines the whole process. If you guys are using Shopify, definitely get Starship It. I think those are the main ones really that I use. Zero.
Oh, whether they're so in sync.
Oh my God.
Zero for sure. I'm on Zero every single day and Excel spreadsheets as well.
Okay.
Boring, but yeah.
Well, now we're caught up to the present day. Your new launches are so slay, if I do say so myself. Go check it out, obviously, everyone. Link will be down below.
We're getting back in the flow now. It's good.
She's in the groove.
We're in the groove this year. We've got like a lot of, yeah, it's exciting this year.
What's your plan? What's your 5 years?
Sorry, I was about to say that.
What's your 5 year plan for your business?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I think it's just getting, like I said, back in the groove because we took a whole year off and we're just starting the journey of being Australian made again, which is very exciting. But yeah, we've got a lot of things in the works. So I think it's just starting to launch more consistently. That's a big thing for us. We've never really had consistent launches because it's just been absolute shit show the whole time. So yeah, consistent launches and then 5 year plan. I mean, I would love to do a pop-up in New York. That would be like a dream. Oh my God, that would be such a dream come true as a New York pop-up. And then we'll have to move into a new office at some point as well. So that's all exciting. But yeah, just basically growing and getting consistent and better designs.
Right. So no slowing down.
Full steam ahead. Yes. What? Hopefully. Oh my God. Hopefully. Touch wood.
No, it will. Speak it into existence.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Madison.
Wow. It's been so nice coming on this podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. Do you do your own housekeeping when you're a guest? Because I don't know housekeeping.
Oh, right. Housekeeping.
Now you got to go back into like...
Oh, am I Madison again?
Yeah, you're back to.
Oh, okay. Housekeeping, everyone. If you'd like to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube now, it's all at Girl Code the Podcast, and it will be linked in the show notes down below.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.